Welcome to season 5 of Swiss Impact with Benedikt. I'm Sveta.
And I am Ben. The topic of season 5 is impactful investments. How can you make a difference with your capital?
Our guests, who are managing impact investment funds, business owners, thought leaders, will empower you to invest with impact.
In this season, we will showcase various impact investment funds who are contributing to SDGs, better known as Sustainable Development Goals, as defined by the United Nations.
There is no excuse. Shift your capital to create positive change in our world. Your children will be happier, you will feel fulfilled, and make money.
We will broadcast every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Central European Time, here on Swiss Impact with Banerjee. You get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.
Good morning, evening, and afternoon to everyone.
Welcome to season 5, episode 12, which is dedicated to impactful investment opportunities.
And today, we would like to dedicate our show to the new King of United Kingdom. So that's King Charles III, who acceded the throne on 8 September. The reason is King Charles, I have to get used to the word King Charles because I always knew him as Prince, has been a very strong force behind climate action, biodiversity, and environmental protection. Apparently, already in 1969, he had written to the British Prime Minister Harold Wilson of that time about the dwindling salmon stock in the Scottish water, saying, I'll quote, "People are notoriously short-sighted when it comes to questions of wildlife." So just like I mentioned last time, he thinks the same. He thinks that the time of talking is over, and now it is the time to act.
Indeed, he is a man of action, and himself has been very actively engaged. Just listen to his last talk on COP26. So King Charles started the famous and influential Sustainable Market Initiative and other great initiatives. And I sincerely hope that he continues with such initiatives, especially now with his position as the king of one of the world's most powerful economy and country.
Yeah, and you know, I'm originally from India, which is also a Commonwealth nation. So just for the audience, so we know that you are watching us from all over the world, and we are available on social media, smart TV, podcasts. But if you want to get the most news out of us, you can just go and look into youtube.com/Swiss Impact.
All right. Thanks for reminding the audience. Now, story time, Ben. What did you prepare for today?
Today, we are going to talk about women empowerment.
Yay, finally.
So I find it a shame that even though some may say that we are at the peak of our evolution, and yet, half of humanity is discriminated against. Only the scale differs from country to country. So, for example, in the West, if you look at Netherlands, which is one of the most advanced nations in the world, where I come from, women on average receive lesser salary than their male counterparts. On the other hand, other scale, in Afghanistan, women cannot even go out of their home without men. So the fact remains that if we really want to make a difference, then we must educate and support women, and very, very importantly, educate girls to start with.
But maybe you can also speak on the clear reasons which we notice from our impact investment ecosystem why we should educate girls.
Exactly. So if you look into the ecosystem of the impact investment, basically at the moment, 3 things come to my mind. One is that we are aware that massive majority of farmers in emerging market, like in Africa, are women. So supporting them really makes a huge difference to the societies and economies of this region. And believe me when I say it is not like that. During the COVID, when the support was going to all over the world, the women in Africa did not get as much support as they should have got. Secondly, we know from experience of microfinance, which is one of the strongest points of impact investment, that loans given to women not only have greater social impact, but they are also more secure. So the chance that you get back your money by giving it or lending it to a woman is far higher.
Of course.
And there are a lot of statistical proofs and research documents on that. And lastly, there's a very old saying that if you educate a man, you educate an individual. While when you educate a girl, you educate a family. And that really is very visible when you look into health, nutrition, values of families growing up, when the girls or the women are educated. So with this, I repeat that we need to continue with our action to support and facilitate girls to become future leaders. It is, to be selfish, it is for our own welfare.
Well, absolutely. I can only confirm that, being a woman, that when we have a strong foundation to build on, our creativity to solve complex issues, ability to lead and empower others is thriving. So now, with this, I'd like to welcome our guests of today, Mr. Lars Collind and Mrs. Rebecca Riemer, the founders of the World Guide Foundations. Please come to our studio. Hello, good day. Hi there, how are you? Where are you guys?
Absolutely fine. In Copenhagen and enjoying a view that's not dissimilar to what's behind you.
Just for you, we got this view today.
Great. Thank you for joining us today. And as not everyone yet knows you, we'd like to provide a short introduction to our audience. And I'd like to start, of course, with a woman, Rebecca Riemer. So you are first. Let's start with saying that you are a medical doctor, entrepreneur, chairperson and philanthropist, and have over 30 years of experience from public and private sector management. You're also specialized in public health and worked for Ministry of Health and later in Finance Ministry. You have been a volunteer scout guide leader throughout your career, and next to holding numerous positions, you have also served as the president of the Olive Baden-Powell Society, which is supporting the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts. And on top, you have received many awards, including the Princess Benedict Award. Amazing. We are so thrilled to have you with us, Rebecca.
It's an honor.
And now to Lars. Lars, you are the chairman of the World Scout Foundation. You're a mathematician, serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and philanthropist. You have started more than 25 businesses and known as a leader and a strategic leader, right? You have written 5 books on leadership and strategy, what a surprise, and which were published in 9 languages. Your philanthropic work focuses on enabling young people throughout the world to be active citizens, leading positive change in their communities, which is actually the vision of the World Scout Movement, where you have been engaged for 4 decades. You also received numerous awards, including Denmark Man's of the Year, the Bronze Wolf, and of course the Princess Benedict Award, among others. And today, you both are engaged in the World Guide Foundation, which turns today's girls and young women into tomorrow's leaders in their own lives, families, local communities, in business, and civil society. That sounds very promising. So we are looking forward to learn more about it and your stories.
Yeah. So Rebecca, we start with you. So what is your story? Why is empowerment of girls and young women so very important for you?
It's extremely important for me because I have seen so many girls all over the world who really deserve to have the same opportunities as I had. I grew up and had a lot of opportunities, including Girl Scouting, but all those young women in the whole world, they really deserve to have the same opportunities. And that's why I'm really engaged in this.
Thank you.
And the way I came to this is really, I grew up in a family where my mother was the mother. She had an education, but she was the one to take care of everything. And my father was the outgoing one. He was an architect, but he was engaged in a lot of different things, including scouting and lion clubs and a lot of things. He really engaged with other people. He engaged with society. And that's really something I learned from. So he's one of my role models. My mother also was a role model. And my next role model was actually my aunt and my uncle. They were both medical doctors, and that really inspired me very much. So that's why I started studying medicine, and now today I'm a specialist in public health. So that's one of the reasons. And then another role model was really Lars, my husband, and he inspired me to start studying other things than medicine. So I have a bachelor's in management and leadership. So that's my background. But over all those years, I engaged with Girl Scouting and Boy Scouting too. But Girl Scouting was really what meant a lot to me. And I have had a number of functions, and I have learned a lot of things being a leader in Girl Scouting. And I wish that every girl could have the same opportunities, like in their career, in their volunteer life, etc. So on top of all those activities, we also raised 4 children. And I'll say I had my share of that. But having met so many girls and young women all over the world, and especially in Africa, really meant that I had to do something. And that was what led me to the World Guide Foundation together with Lars. But maybe we come back to that.
After listening to this, I think we should have added in her curriculum vitae time management. You must be an expert in time management. And now, Lars, what is your story and why is philanthropy so important for you?
Thank you, Ben, for asking. I am actually a mathematician, and I have had a business career. And the really remarkable thing for me is that at the age of 27, my boss was leaving, and somebody had to take over his job. And the owner of the company just called me in and said, "Okay, Lars, why couldn't you be the CEO?" And I said, "Okay, I never tried it before." But then he said, "You're a scout leader, and a scout leader knows how to make a plan, how to think forward, how to get the whole team going with you, etc. So I think you'd be a good CEO." And I said, "Yes, I'll try." And the rest is history. So I've had this this corporate career, and I took a relatively large company public to NASDAQ, and thereby we were lucky of actually making more money than we, strictly speaking, needed. And that actually led us into both philanthropy and investment into startups. And the startup world has inspired me a lot, and I've been able to apply what I learned as a scout leader, because these are relatively small teams. We need to get things going. And this was very valuable for me. And I am proud to say that as a serial entrepreneur, I have failed more times than most people. I know I know what bankruptcy means. Fortunately, out of the 20, actually it's about 30 companies I have co-founded or been engaged with, actually about 10 of them have been relatively quite successful, actually, which means that we have made money so that we can do what we are mostly focusing on now, which is investing into young people, especially girls, really to move them forward, give them a better future. And you know what? We think that together with somebody, and maybe somebody is watching exactly this program, together with somebody, we can actually train 5 million girls before the end of this decade to equip them and prepare them to take action in the community and be leaders. That's really what this whole thing is about. And that's what motivates both of us tremendously.
That's an extremely big number. Now we are going to have discussion about how you are going to do it. But
yes, and I'm always inspired by couples, as we are also one with Ben. So it's always great to see that aligned missions can create multiple good results and impact. Would you tell us more about the World Guide Foundation? So what is it about and what's the story behind it?
Yeah, that'll be you.
Yeah. The World Guide Foundation gives us all an opportunity to do good things for other people, and that's what life is about. So by partnering with us, we get you an opportunity, a vehicle where you can do fantastic things for girls in this world. And that's the reason why we established the World Guide Foundation, was really that we have been involved in quite many programs, etc., supporting girls and boys and a lot of young people, supporting young people. But we were never really satisfied with what we saw. We didn't really feel that the impact was as it should be, and the costs were far too high. So we thought that maybe we could do something which was much better. And to be quite frank, I had never imagined that we could do what we're doing today. Never. So we established the World Guide Foundation because we wanted to really see real impact for less money.
And I actually think I was the first one that said that. Okay. Can we not be more cost efficient?
That's okay.
Can we not be more cost efficient? And scouting is actually in general very cost efficient, but compared to that, we thought we could do even better. Mm-hmm. And that's why actually we set this like the goal, can we go to the moon? We actually set ourselves the goal and said, can we engage a girl into scouting, which is also called guiding? I'll help you get the terminology right in a moment. But can we not engage a girl into this for less than $2? Can we train a girl for 3 years at a cost less than $2? That is really...
You are kidding. Less than $2 for 2 years.
Yeah, and that's actually, I asked the question and Wiebke provided the answer.
And the answer is yes, but how? How do you do that? What are the programs? What are they doing, the Scout Girls?
Yeah, what are we doing? Well, we are partnering with a number of Girl Guide associations, organizations in Africa. We have also been in Malaysia, but that's a different story. But right now we are engaging with 10 African countries with their national organization, and they, the way they work is like girl guiding, girl scouting everywhere. They work with a lot of volunteers, so that's the main reason why we can do it in a very cost effective way. But another explanation is that we really have some requirements to the organizations we work together with, and the requirements are that they have to be very disciplined. They have to send reports. We follow up every month. We follow up, and so it's a question of hard work and discipline and passion. First of all, passion. And it has to be fun for everybody. It has to be, and really, if to do what we are doing really is hard work. But when we can do it in a way where we find it fun and rewarding, then it's fine. And it's not only fun and rewarding for us, it should be fun and rewarding for everyone, including those many volunteer leaders all over Africa. They are volunteers, and that really means, it really means that they don't get any salary, any money. They are volunteers, and they work hard, all of them.
May I go on from there?
Yes.
Imagine that you are some impact investor or philanthropist in the UK, and you want to make a positive difference in Uganda. What would you do? You would hire some expats that would go to Uganda and do projects. You would hire some local staff. You would build schools or whatever you would do. And the whole thing would actually be quite costly, because you know what the cost, the annual cost of an expat is. Mm-hmm. What we are doing is the opposite. There's not one single expat. There, and the local staff, there's one local staff person for every 1,000 adult volunteers. So imagine if you have a company with 1,000 people and you're doing all sorts of things in the field, but you only pay a local salary to one of them. It goes without saying that doing it that way is incredibly cost efficient. And that is the secret behind the $2. And you might say, okay, how can we hire 1,000 volunteers in Uganda? But the reason why we can do that is they already have about 10,000 volunteers in Uganda, the Uganda Girl Guides. They have around 10,000. And it's much easier to hire 10,000 more volunteers if you have 10,000 already. So we can help the Uganda Girl Guides hire another 10,000 volunteers. And then they will find out to go out to schools and wherever they go and start Girl Guide units. And then they start. Each volunteer may be able to cover like 20 or 40 girls. And that's the way it works. So the operation is virtually costs virtually nothing. And that's the reason why, if you take the foundation or philanthropist approach, I have never been close to anything that is so cost efficient. And the invitation we have, and the purpose why we are actually talking to you, is that we would like to give the opportunity to either a family that wants to leave a legacy, to a corporation that would want to be associated with training 5 million girls over the next decade.
Who would not?
Or a government agency, or whatever it is, a foundation, whoever wants to help us doing that. That's really what we hope. And obviously, the only thing we can promise is that we will work incredibly hard with whoever wants to partner with us. We'll work incredibly hard to make that happen.
That's great, right to the point, why you're talking to us at all. Let's talk about impact, because I'd like to know, what is your impact of these thousands of volunteers which are engaging on the society and environment, and also on the individual's life? So on these young girls, what does it bring to this young scout afterwards, after they've gone through your program?
I might start and you
okay,
go.
Okay.
Now, if a person, it could be a girl or a boy, becomes a scout, and actually terminology, scout and girl guide, think of it as the same thing. It's just two words for the same thing. And there are scouts that are female and male and guides, what have you. Just think of it as the same thing. But we are focusing on girls. Now, if a girl joins the Girl Guide program in Africa, she will be trained on average for 3 years. During that training, she will actually go through the most tested and well thought out non-formal education process that you've ever heard about, which is the Scout Method. She'll go through that under the guidance of volunteer leaders. Now, that method works like this. When she enters, she will not go into a classroom. She will actually be in the outdoors, most likely in nature, and she will be confronted with challenges. Now, do this or find your way home, protect yourself from the sun or from the rain, or find something to eat, or what's that rock? Why is that rock that way? All sorts of challenges. Now, the art for the scout leader or guide leader is to find a challenge that's challenging, but not impossible. So maybe she has to try a few times, but she will eventually get it. And then she'll get a reward, which is a badge. And then next time she'll get a different challenge, it'll be more difficult for her. And gradually she will grow. And along the way, she will learn some useful skills, very good, but she'll learn something much more important. She will get self-esteem. I can do it. She will also be able better to work with others, because in a girl guiding, some activities are individual, others are for a small group of girls. So she will learn to appreciate that she might be good at doing this, but her neighbor might be good at doing something different. And together we can do everything. That is the essence of the Scout Method. And it's incredibly efficient because it takes place when young people are, say, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years, at a time when they are able really to learn. And then it's also very efficient because it's not directed by adults. It is supported by adults. So the scout leader or guide leader serves not as a mentor, not as a director. Mm-hmm. And during the, it's this method has been refined for over 100 years. And during that time, it's actually been applied to more than a billion people. So there is nothing that works better. And this is the evidence is obvious, has been very well documented. So this is really the essence of this.
Could I tell
you? Well explained, yeah. Sure. Now about impact on the society environment.
Yeah. And could I start with the general impact? The when something I never thought of, but working with Africa, I realized that the most important thing for girl guides is really that when girls engage with girl guiding, first of all, when a girl engages with girl guiding, first of all, she doesn't get pregnant too early. I wouldn't have thought of that, but we have been told that, I think it was in Malawi, the government has said, please bring in as many girl guides as at all possible, because it really helps us a lot, because they don't become pregnant. This is, of course, not the only impact, but it's an extremely important impact, because it changes the life. It changes her future life. And the more the other things to mention is not only about pregnancy, but it's a girl who has trained as a girl guide is more likely to get an education. She's more likely to get later to get a job. She's more likely to get a good job. She's more likely to become a leader in her society. And she's more likely to become interested in nature and to work with nature. So that's really, and after all, she's more likely to engage with the local community and thereby be able to change things in her local community.
Actually, I dare say that girl guiding and scouting and guiding probably are by far the largest green organizations on earth, because there are like 65 million of them. Each of them has been trained about learning about nature, learning about how to protect nature and all of that. And imagine that there are 65 million people who actually take care of nature. And once they have completed their training, there are more than 500 million in community leaders, business leaders, whatever they are, who have learned that. So I would claim that there is no organization in the world that makes a larger contribution to the sustainable development goals than scouting. And by the way, the UN Secretary General agrees with me.
That's very good. And I wanted to ask, what can you tell us more about the engagement of Her Royal Highness Princess Benedict of Denmark in the World Guide Foundation?
Absolutely. That's you. Yeah. Her Royal, I'll start.
I'm sorry.
Her Royal Highness. Yeah.
Yeah. Her Royal Highness. She's a fantastic patron. We are so proud of having her as a patron. And it's difficult to explain because, well, she's really a star. She is a star. She is so, she's such an inspiration to everyone. She can inspire girls of 10 years or 18 years or 75 or whoever it is. She's really inspiring. She's very good to talk to people, and she's also, and people that's also donors, contributors. She is really good, and I really would hope that some of you from our audience would be able to meet Her Royal Highness.
And what are the current projects right now that your volunteers or scouts are engaged in?
We have one project. One. The only project we have is to recruit and train 5 million girls in Africa before the end of this decade. So this is a foundation. Unlike most others who have 100 projects going, we have one project going to train, to recruit and train 5 million girls. And that project obviously takes, for the time being, takes place in 10 different countries. There are countries waiting for us. I think we've actually recruited this number 11 today.
Yeah, yes. We have just signed an agreement with country number 11. So that's very exciting.
So that's what it's all about. And I think you'll be surprised. Of course, you cannot run projects in 10 countries. We recruited so far 800,000 girls in Africa.
Yeah, repeat that. 800,000 girls.
And you might say, okay, We need a foundation, staff, all sorts of things, people working with that. But you know what? We have a staff consisting of 4 volunteers, and she's one of them. 4 volunteers who get paid absolutely zero and work day and night to actually make this happen, together with numerous, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of volunteers in all those countries. But this organization, at its head office in Copenhagen, which is basically in our living room. nobody gets a salary. And I think that's very remarkable. This is a volunteer effort. And that's why we have only one project.
And how do you do that? You must have amazing marketing people to recruit 800,000 volunteers. Like, how do you do that? What's the secret sauce?
Yeah. We do it, first of all, we do it in 10 different countries, and we work with the national organizations there. So we set up first of all, we inspire the national organization to set a high ambition. That's what we need, a high ambition. And after that, we take them through a number of, I would call it exercises, so that we check, how are they able to do this? Let me give you an example. We started in Uganda. That was our first project. And they had an ambition, which was to more than double their organization and that means to double their capacity for training girls. And their starting point was 210,000, as far as I remember. And they ended up within 3 years to have more than doubled. So they had 440,000 training. Yeah.
Basically, let me explain that. This is something to understand the numbers. Yeah. If Uganda say they have...
Also a mathematician, right?
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. If Uganda has 450,000 members, they stay on an average for 3 years, which means that they are graduating 150,000 per year, which is in Uganda, there'll be 1.5 million girls that are trained over the next decade. So that's how the connection between membership and training capacity. So basically, Uganda can train 150,000 per year today. If we look at Africa as such, Africa today, after we have recruited 800,000 members, Africa now has a capacity to train 600,000 girls per year. This is what we will increase to a capacity to train over 1 million per year. And since the growth will take place gradually, actually before the end of the decade, we will at least have trained 5 million. And the good news is that as part of the project that we plan to invest together with a partner, $10 million, the last part of that, or the second or third part of that, is actually building capacity so that this ability to train becomes permanent. So if we have trained 5 million before the end of the decade, our aim is during the next decade, based on what we've done now, we can actually train another 10 million because they can train 1 million per year. Mm-hmm. So the impact on societies in Africa will be absolutely phenomenal. And if you look to Uganda, actually adding 150,000 potential leaders each year, even though Uganda is a relatively large country, this actually makes a big difference to their society.
Absolutely. And you are talking about Africa, right? So this is your focus right now. Why only Africa? We need it everywhere in the world. Do you plan to extend to other countries?
It's absolutely true that this is needed everywhere in the world. But it's a good thing to focus on one place. We have been involved in Malaysia, and we ran a very successful project there. But we decided to kind of go back to Africa, where we want to involve more national organizations. And we want to go deeper into the cooperation with some of the countries we have worked with for quite a while. So we want to do more, reach out to more countries and thereby to many more girls and young women, but also to work more in depth with countries. And that's not only about setting the ambition even higher, but it's also about adding things to what we have worked with. We would like very much to add something about financial literacy, which is very much needed and very much wanted in Africa. All our partner organizations are talking about financial literacy, about
entrepreneurship,
And we talk about sustainability. That's also about finance part. But they are extremely interested, and we start, all our projects have been started with a kind of an energy boost, which is about social entrepreneurship, which inspires them really not only to do a social entrepreneurship project, but to move
to build
real companies.
Yeah.
That's of course small companies, because all big companies have been small from the beginning.
Yeah.
Sveta, you asked the question, why don't we do it in Latin America?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we do it in Asia? And frankly speaking, if somebody says, okay, let's do it in Asia, we'll do it in Asia as well. It'll take another 5 volunteers, I think, to do it.
Only, right? So
how difficult can that be?
Yeah, exactly. So, and you have been involved so long. Can you name some girl guides or scouts who are well-known personalities?
Yeah, people who have really a scout background and who are really personalities, well, very well known. Yes, I could mention. Let me start with Michelle Obama. Everybody knows Michelle Obama.
Whoa. She came from a Girl Scout.
Absolutely. Her husband was a Boy Scout, and oh, by the way, all the presidents and of U.S.
Since Eisenhower.
Oh, since Eisenhower. Okay. Yes, I'm not sure about Lincoln and Washington.
No, but they were actually all Boy Scouts. and many of them were Eagle Scouts, which is the highest award you can achieve. Unfortunately, one of them didn't make it into scouting, really. And you may guess who it was. It's a recent president. He didn't make it. Actually, it's quite striking that if you look at world leaders in general, politicians, business leaders, leaders in science, leaders in arts, leaders in sports, leaders in entertainment, a lot of them have a scout background. And you know, if you take the U.S., Condoleezza Rice was an avid Girl Scout. Madeleine Albright, just to take 2 secretaries of state. Rex Tillerson, who was Secretary of State recently, was president of the Boy Scouts of America. Really great scout. And by the way, do you know how many people actually walked on the moon? 12 people have walked on the moon. Yeah. 11 were scouts.
Oh,
wow. You missed something.
And if you look actually this tiny country of Denmark, I did a survey at one time of the 100 most successful business leaders. More than half of them had a scout background. So what we see, there are about 600-700 million people in the world who have the scout background. But if you take that subset of the population where you look at people with a leadership role in one way or the other, I wouldn't be surprised if at least 1/3 of those and maybe half of those have a scout background. And I meet them all the time when I'm at seminars, conferences, business meetings, lots of scouts. Fortunately, some people are great leaders without having been scouts. So we'll work with them as well.
Can I mention that? Sure. As I remember, there are some studies in the US that that more than 40% of business female business owners, they have a scout background.
So it's amazing.
Yeah.
And just translate that into impact. Yes. If there are 600 millions, of course, there may be 100 million who haven't got it. But but maybe at least 500 million have got it. Imagine the impact they have, because they are in touch with 10 times as many people. And in their work, they have acquired skills that will make them do it better. And the whole thing is based on a value system, which actually includes taking care of the environment. So if we can actually increase the number of people who are trained as scouts, I think we can make an additional enormous contribution to the sustainable development goals.
Exactly.
Lars Iveke, but do you think to collaborate with other scouting organizations and to make them, how to say, understand that they should also recruit more girls to increase this impact by including more girls into scouting?
Yeah, that the good news is that if you look at the world, roughly, and these are rough figures, 65 million young people are currently under scout training. just under half of those are already girls. So, and many organizations throughout the world are actually aiming for having an equal number or even more girls. So girls are being recruited, not only for the guide, girl guides, but also for the scouts and everywhere. Mm-hmm. So scouting actually and guiding plays a major role in training girls and thereby contribute to gender equality. That's already happening.
And we are, of course, very happy that they work with gender equality, but scouts and guides all over the world also work with a lot of other of the sustainable girls, the UN sustainable girls.
Goals. So, yeah.
Goals, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, not girls, but goals. Goals. Yes. So we really have an impact on all these development sustainable goals.
And do you is there a certain age where you're focusing on of the girls?
I think that either we can use these statistics or we can say, oh, there are many different countries, etc. The most usual age to start at is in many African countries would be 10 to 12 years, something like that. But it differs from country to country, and some take them from 6 years and some from 9 years, and some that's different. And it's interesting because when we say we want to turn girls and young women into tomorrow's leaders, you could ask, how can you train a 6-year-old girl to become a leader? And that's actually possible, because if you train and that's what we do, train girls to solve problems, to cooperate with others, to look around and see what should be done here, and then make a decision, hopefully together with other people, and make a decision, say this is what we do, and then we go for it. That makes a leader, and that can be done. The impact, leadership role impact starts already when you're 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Francis, or, yeah. If I may be very blunt, you know, look at the most prominent business schools, Harvard, Wharton, Stanford, who train the world's finest leaders and get the highest salaries, etc. You know what? The difference a good scout leader can make to a 9, 10, 12, 13, 14 years, I will guarantee is as high as the one that Harvard makes.
Probably higher,
yeah. Because you can form young people. And we have 4 children, and they've all been scouts. And we have seen how scouting and guiding has changed their life, has taught them to take responsibility for each other, has taught them to care for nature, has taught them to be curious and courageous and all of that. This is what millions and millions of young people get through scouting. And that's what we hope this training, imagine if we can train 1 million girls in Africa per year to acquire those attitudes, skills, and these aspects of personality. Wow. That's what we want to do.
It will change Africa and it will change the world.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And guys, you face any challenges on the way, or is it all amazing and no, nothing comes on your way when you're trying to achieve your goals?
I think the first of all, actually, although this can be done for about $2 per girl trained, which is a ridiculously low number, but still, if you want to train 5 million, you have to raise 10 million. And although we've done well with our various startups that we have sold, etc., we have financed the first million, but we cannot finance the next $10 million. So that's why I think the greatest obstacle we have in front of us is actually to find that partner who can see the interest in, you know, we're not asking for help. We are giving another organization, could be foundation, family, corporation or whatever. We're giving that partner the opportunity to make an impact that they would guaranteed not be able to make without this. That's the idea. And if we can overcome that obstacle, I'm actually quite optimistic we can make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. And you're looking at it as a philanthropic support or as an investment support?
I would call it an impact investment, really. It is, and the return is dramatic. Not only training 5 million girls, but imagine that if they actually acquire leadership skills, each of them will impact 10 others, and they'll continue to do so for the next 50 years. Yeah. So it's a gigantic impact. And I don't think any project that I can imagine could have a similar impact. And the opportunity is, I'm sure somebody will say, we'd like to work with that. We'll do the work, but we need the financing. So I call it impact investment.
And in our terminology, investment is when you get the money back, right? So here it's like, we would rather call maybe impact first investors, the ones who are really into impact, right? And can see the multiplication of the impact, which is going to be in the world, also in numbers, like you are, says you're a mathematician.
Absolutely. I mean, for example, if you look into the social bond of UK, that's an example like that. So, that's very good. And how can our audience support you?
I would suggest, actually, you know, we don't want 100 people to call us and discuss this with us. So if you really
they have only two volunteers.
this is spot on. This is exactly what we have been looking for. Then we'd actually like to talk to whoever it is. And there's a worldguidefoundation.org website where Vibeke's email and phone number, I even think, is there. So we'd like to talk to those who say, okay, this is something that could be interesting for us. And we are open to, there may be somebody who said, okay, maybe $10 million is to the high side, then we'll do 5 or 2.
And if it's to the low side, we'll help you. We'll help you.
So we'll be open to that. What we want is a partnership with somebody who shares our vision for training 5 million people, and after that, hopefully, training 1 million per year.
But there are also a lot of kind of foundations and companies and corporations who are also focusing very much on educating or supporting women all around the world, mainly in the emerging market.
Yeah,
they may also be very, very good partners.
Yeah. What we cannot, you said get the money back. Of course, you won't get the money back, but you'll get something which is much more important. So call it an investment or call it a grant. It's up to
you. Exactly. Yeah.
The point is that I think that whoever is engaged in this space would want to claim correctly that they have actually made this enormous difference. And this has value. It may have a commercial value. If you think of a brand that is especially related to women, has great commercial value. We can't offer that all girl guides will have a badge on their uniform. Won't happen. But at least being associated with this has a certain value and could be worth it. But what we really hope is somebody says, okay, we want to leave that legacy.
Yeah.
And let's do it.
I can already think of wrote down quite a lot of names here, which I think are foundations who are really looking like projects like yours.
That's great. Guys, the time is running out, but we still have time for a call to action from your side. Maybe each of you, and I think ladies first.
Well, our call for action is really come and join with us, because what we are working with is incredible. You have never seen anything like that. And we want some serious partners to join with us, because we want really to reach our goal, which is 5 million more girls and young women.
Great. I can't add anything. That's it. That's what we'll do.
That's great. Very clear and right to the point. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
I really liked it. You keep completely focused from the starting to the end. That is only about the 5 million. And I'm after listening to you, I'm 100% sure we will get it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting us to join.
Thank you.
We'll be just delighted to work with whoever wants to work with us. Thanks a lot.
And before you leave, we'd like to give you also a little present. First of all, is an honorary membership of our community, Chamomile Impact Investment Community. Please register and we will upgrade it. And second, to give you an Impact Leader certificate, which you both truly are. So welcome to our world as well.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
On the Chamomile community, you can also put the World Guide Foundation over there, which would be
so
perfect.
People get to know it more, and maybe one or the other will join as a scout, or some might provide you some donations.
Yeah, because there's massive financial institutions also present there. Because I think your vision matches the visions of many foundations. So that's amazing. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. And we see you in Denmark, I guess, right?
Thank you to you, and see you.
Thank you. Bye, Lars. Bye, Vivek.
We forgot to ask them the weather. It must be very cloudy and rainy there at this moment.
Ciao. It's okay. Everything is so colorful, so we will survive.
See you then.
Bye. Bye. Thank you for joining. Well, dear viewers, with this, we finish the 12th episode of season 5. And next week, we will be back with an amazing business, which is producing a unique cycle, which you never seen before, most probably, but which might revolutionize next generation of bicycles. And Ben already tried it out. About it next week. Please don't forget to subscribe on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Swiss Impact. And then you always will be updated with the recent news from Impact World.
So looking forward to seeing you next week.
And everyone who thinks you are impactful enough and you are ready to be our guest, reach out and talk to us. We will be more than happy to show your impact in the world. And for now, you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.
Hi, we hope you enjoyed this episode of TV show, Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Make sure you check out the next one. And also find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Spotify, podcasts, and any of your favorite social media places.
And please subscribe to our channel so you know when we release new episodes.
And also leave us some feedback to help us grow this awesome impact community and join it.
We look forward to sharing the next episodes with you. And until then, you get more when you give back.
So always invest with impact.